Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring Giants players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
Giants third baseman Matt Duffy joins us each homestand.
I think when I'm going best is when I'm just staying short, trying to hit the ball right back up the middle and seeing it well.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Today's guest is Ahmed Farid from Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area. Ahmed, thanks so much for joining us here on Inside China Basin to talk about the Giants and Major League Baseball. And let's start with Madison Bumgarner on Sunday because he looked like he was rolling towards his first no-hitter. He had incredible stuff. That curveball was working great. He struck out 14. And, you know, he has the manager who will leave him in even though his pitch count is getting up there. Did you think he was going to do it?
I thought he was going to do it. He thought he was going to do it. I think he said that he really felt like he's six outs away. Like, yeah, you got a really good chance of doing it. He was going to do it. But it just amazes me. I mean, we started the year with him where spring training he wasn't quite right, wasn't himself. First start of the year, he had the flu and still was fighting through some mechanical problems. And, you know, you're like, you know, hey, every once in a while, we're seeing it, you know, with the A's and Sonny Gray. Every once in a while, hey, you just don't have it that year. And so not that we ever thought that. It was early, but that happens with pitchers. And sometimes they just can't feel it and can't reel it in. But, boy, he basically made a couple iffy starts at the start of the year and then has been lights out. I mean, this has been his best season so far.
Yeah, I'm thinking there are some managers that wouldn't have let him go for the one-hitter. I mean, yeah, you're going for a no-hitter. And we've seen some instances this year, even recently with Steven Strasburg, where I think he was in the seventh inning with a no-hitter, and his pitch count was over 100, so Dusty Baker took him out. And in this case, Bruce Bochy's like, okay, yeah, just go out there and try to get the one-hitter, even though you're well over 100 pitches. I mean, do you think Bruce Bochy is a pretty rare manager in that way?
I do, and I think he will. I mean, you see the pitches. There was a time this year where it was Bumgarner, Cueto, and Samardzija. I believe 1-2-3. I know they're all in the top five in pitches thrown. So he's riding his horses for sure in the first half. And part of that is a function of the bullpen not necessarily being as reliable and the kind of the shutdown bullpen that we've seen in years past. But yeah, he definitely this year has ridden those guys. And, you know, it's interesting hearing people talk about, you know, all the arm problems. You got to keep that pitch count to 100. There are a lot of people that think, you know, once if your arm hasn't been abused as a kid growing up through high school and all that travel baseball, and you've given it a chance to develop. I mean, you look at a guy like Nolan Ryan, you know, he could throw as many pitches as anyone out there and be fine 5 days later,
yeah.
You're good to go. And I think that the Giants have that philosophy with Madison Bumgarner. He's a big, strong guy. His arm has not been overused as a youth. And now as an adult, they're able to ride him a little bit more. And I think they've done that. Now, having said that, I do think they'll probably try to pick some spots in the second half to give these guys, you know, a six-inning start or a seven-inning start. But Bochy said, hey, end of the first half, you got a break. Go for it.
Well, you know, on the one hand, he's not worried about him getting hurt as far as pitching. But on the other hand, I think that Bruce Bochy really would have been nervous if Madison Bumgarner was in the home run derby. And fortunately for Bruce, I mean, he didn't have to worry about it because, you know, Major League Baseball stepped in and said, no, we're not going to have pitchers in the home run derby. And the Players Union also was a part of that. But how much disappointment is there, do you think, for the fans of San Francisco? And what's your take on whether or not Madison Bumgarner should be in that home run derby tonight?
I mean, I'm disappointed. I wanted to see it. You know, and Jake Arrieta, I know he's disappointed. He wanted to be in it.
Right.
So they had enough. They had enough pitchers who, if they wanted to, they could have done it. And they could have done it in an exhibition, you know, 10-swing kind of thing. Although I think that kind of takes the luster away. I think the real draw would be just one pitcher in with all the hitters in the in the home run derby.
Right.
And that was a tough spot. That really was kind of an interesting spot for the Giants, because Baumgartner really wants to do it. It's not just one of those things where I think it'd be fun. I think he really wants to go out there and prove that he could win that contest against all the hitters. But I you know what, I side with the Giants on this one, because it's one thing to take a round of BP. It's another thing to go full on for that many swings in a row. I mean, we're talking, those hitters do that more than Madison, and even they get fatigued by the end of it. And so once you start swinging the bat that many times, and then you're fatigued, that's when the injuries come, the obliques and everything like that. So I don't blame the Giants at all, but I'm still bummed, because I wanted to see that, Joe. I wanted to see how many he'd park over there.
Me too. Well, another thing that is a bummer to me is that Brandon Crawford is not on the All-Star team. I think it's a travesty. How is he not the starting shortstop? He's got over 60 RBIs. He plays gold glove defense. But, I mean, that's the system. You've got fans voting, a lot of Cubs fans voting, and Addison Russell gets the starting spot. Certainly, Seager deserves to be an All-Star, but you know, it's just a shame that Crawford was left off there. I'm sure he's enjoying, or he's going to enjoy, the days off, but what do you think about the way the All-Star structure is? Is this just another area where you could just point to and say, you know, it's just not totally right? It's a little bit flawed.
I tweeted the other day that I counted that Brandon Crawford is better than 46 All-Stars who were in there. Now, I really didn't count. I didn't count, but I think that's about right. I think that number might be about right. Yeah, I mean, there are a couple things working against him, right? So the vote and the Cubs really turned out the vote. And, I mean, really, Addison Russell took his spot. I mean, that's basically what it is. The Cubs voted him in. He's a great young player, not having an All-Star year. So he took his spot. And then when you have Matt Carpenter go down, they replaced him with a shortstop for the Cardinals, Diaz. Right. But they had to have a Cardinal. So that was a function of they had to have one Cardinal. So he got skipped over again. I do know that he's upset. You know, he will have some time with his family and his young kids, but he wanted to go again. And really, I mean, this is the shortstop that won the Silver Slugger and Gold Glove last year. I mean, it really is a very big oversight not to have him there. Now, like you say, Seager is having a great year, but I just don't know how you can have right now Brandon Crawford in the prime, top defensive shortstop, and a guy who's knocking in runs every day. He's got to be there. I mean, you've got to find a way to get him there. Now, they had another problem, because on the final vote, they had Brandon Belt there, and so then you really can't have two Giants on the final vote,
because
they split votes, take votes away from each other. So it was, I think, a weird circumstance that kept him off of the roster, but it bears looking at and figuring out ways that this doesn't happen, because he's an MVP candidate. I mean, forget All-Star. Like, he is a legit MVP candidate, and I don't know, Joe, if you were to take a vote right now of people, I think he would be a top five, top six, seven guy in the National League in the MVP, and you don't have that guy in the All-Star game, that's an oversight.
I totally agree. Let's hear what Matt Duffy, his teammate, had to say about Brandon Crawford and the way he makes plays defensively.
I mean, I think we all agree that he deserves to be there. Watching him play on a daily basis, there isn't anybody else that I'd rather have at shortstop. I think everybody in this clubhouse would agree with that. In terms of who makes it or how the voting is done, that's how it is. That's not my decision. I mean, personally, he's got my vote. I'm a little biased, but then again, I get to see him on a daily basis, and some of the plays he makes. You know, there's defenders who make fairly routine plays look spectacular and wind up on highlight reels, and then there's also Brandon Crawford, who makes very difficult plays look routine, and he doesn't end up on a lot of highlight reels because of it. But watching him on a daily basis, I see some of the plays he makes, and I was a shortstop at one point. I know how difficult they are. And he makes them look like they're plays that should be made all the time. And I think pitching and defense is what wins championships. And I know our pitching staff greatly appreciates him. He's not just an offensive threat, although he is a threat to drive in runs. Obviously, he's up there in RBI leaders, and he's been on fire lately. But I know the pitching staff also really appreciates what he does for this team on a daily basis defensively, which, in my opinion, really puts him above and beyond everybody else, because he's just, I don't think there's anybody as good as him as a defender.
That's Matt Duffy during the last homestand here on Inside China Basin. Now, Brandon Belt, he got the last vote, and he seems genuinely really, really excited that this happened and that, you know, Giants fans really came out big as far as the vote.
Yeah, he deserved it, too. He's never had a year where he's hit 300, had a OBP over 400, and had a slugging percentage over 500, and he's basically right there as we hit the halfway point. So he's having his best year ever, and what's really interesting about that is it's coming off the big contract, right? And you never quite know what players and how they react to the contract extension. You know, some guys put a little too much pressure on themselves. You know, it's like, I want to live up to this money. I want to show them that they made the right call. But for Brandon, I think he's been able to take a deep breath, you know, just take it, you feel, okay, I don't need to play for the contract anymore. I can just play to win, play to help the team and do all I can. So that's been interesting to see how he's handled that and the extension and the financial security for the rest of his life and his family's life and his kids' life. And so he's fun to watch for me. I mean, the way he approaches it, the at-bats that he makes, and I don't know if you've seen the small adjustment he made kind of at the end of last year to the beginning of this year. His hands are still high, but they're less high than they were before. He just brought them down, I think, maybe like 6 inches or whatever. And who knows? I mean, did that really turn it around for him? Was that all he needed to take the next step to being a great hitter? I don't know, but it certainly helped. And he's a top offensive player, I think. You know, with all the RBIs that Brandon had, he's come through in the clutch. But all-around offensive player, it's been Brandon Belt so far this year.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We hear about adjustments here and there with players. But with Brandon Belt, it seems like we always hear about that. A few years ago, it was about how he moved to the back of the box instead of being more in the middle or front of the box. And then he changed his grip on the bat where he was lining up his knuckles and, you know, how much of a difference that made. And now it's that he's not having the bat as high up, as you mentioned. They were showing that on ESPN on Sunday night. So, I mean, with Brandon, I give him credit for his willingness to change around. Some guys are not willing to do that, especially in the middle of the season. I think Cal Ripken was great with that. Cal, he used to change stances all the time, but not every player's like that. I mean, some guys are just, it's really tough for them to make those adjustments.
Right, and you like that, right? The open mind. You see it all the time kind of with defensive shifts, right? A guy's like, you got to go the other way. They're telling them all the time, you got to start hitting the ball the other way. And some guys just can't. They're just like, you know what, I've gotten to this point by doing what I do. If I try to change it now, I'm not going to be the guy who I am, and I'm just not comfortable doing that. So for sure, I agree, Joe. I mean, just to see him with the willingness to not only do it, but then tell us about it. Like, I appreciate that part of it. Because some players right. are pretty superstitious about, don't want to talk about stuff, and don't want to jinx anything. But I appreciate that he's kind of an open book with that he is open to change, and then he's open to telling us what he's doing, because it just makes it more interesting for us following him.
We'll have more with Ahmed Farid from Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area in just a moment, but first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, where you might see Giants relief pitcher George Contos.
It's a great golf course. It's very convenient for us to get there, and it's a very challenging course. If you're not in your game, you get in the rough. Rough's along there. It's a very beautiful course. They're very gracious and get us out there anytime we're able to get out there for an off day and play some golf. So, you know, just with how beautiful the course is and how challenging it can be, it's always a lot of fun getting out there and playing around.
A little reminder, each week during the season, we'll be giving away a free T-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. All you have to do is ask a question for one of our guests, and if your question is chosen, you'll receive a free T-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. To send your questions in, email us at thesportsvirus@gmail.com or on Facebook, thesportsvirus.com page, and please like us while you're there. Now back to the conversation with Ahmed Farid from Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area. One more point on the All-Star game. As we sit here doing this podcast on Monday morning, we're waiting to find out about the starting pitchers for the All-Star game, and Johnny Cueto is certainly a great candidate, being 13-1, 2.47 ERA. He's just been phenomenal, better than the Giants even expected. I mean, I know he signed a big contract, but I mean, he's out there fooling hitters. It's just so entertaining as well. Great choice, I think, to start the All-Star game. What do you think?
I agree. I have a hard time getting too upset with whoever they pick, just because I always feel like there's like four guys who, you know what, that guy, I can see that. You know, another guy, like, yeah, I could see that too. So it's like, if I think he definitely deserves it. And after Arrieta got blown up his last start, his ERA was lower than his. But either way, I think Arrieta, Fernandez, but Cueto's, so, I mean, I talk about Brandon Belt being a fun hitter to watch. Johnny Cueto is my number one pitcher to watch so far this year, just kind of how he does it and how he goes about his business. And I asked a lot of the, like Sean Estes, we have in a lot. I go, how come more pitchers don't do like Johnny and just mix up tempo? Because it really does mess with the hitter. And he basically told me that most pitchers are not athletic enough to do it and can't command the ball if they do it. You know, they could mix up tempo, but it's not like they're going to be able to throw it where they want to throw it
right. When
they're doing stuff like that. So I think that's the thing that's amazing about Johnny, is that he can do all the funky stuff, the big twist, the quick pitch, and it doesn't affect the ball coming out of his hand. You know, you talk about consistent release points. There's nothing consistent about Johnny's windup and what he does, but he can throw it where he wants to, basically, no matter what he does before he chucks that ball.
It is amazing. It really, really is that he's that consistent. Let's talk about after the All-Star break, because the Giants are getting ready to have some players come back, and they've played so well without Hunter Pence and even without other guys, you know, the Joe Panics of the world and Matt Duffy's that are out right now, and guys like Grant Green and Ramiro Pena. I mean, these guys are hitting over 300 filling in. It's been pretty amazing. So, I mean, I guess it's a good problem to have when players are coming back and you have those players that have contributed, but there are going to be some players that, okay, well, you know, some feathers might get ruffled. Like Kelby Tomlinson was taken off the DL already, and then he was optioned to AAA because right now, you know, they like what they have going on. So it's going to be interesting, I think, don't you think?
It will be, and it will probably, you know, sort itself out. I think maybe some of those guys, too, may be waived, DFA'd, and they might not be claimed to another team, and so you might be able to sneak them back to Sacramento
right. If
you're the Giants, but I don't know. I mean, it's every year for the Giants, right? And I'm sure it's this way for other teams, but, I mean, we're talking about the team with the best record and playing without some of their key guy. I mean, an all-star from last year in Joe Panic, the right fielder for basically most of the year in Hunter Pence, their number five star. I mean, it's just, I don't know how they find Albert Suarez, they find Grant Green, they find Ramiro Pena. And it's just, they get just enough out of those guys at just the right time. I mean, last year at this time, they were getting a ton out of Chris Heston. It was basically Madison Bumgarner and Chris Heston was carrying the team for the first half of the year. So I don't know how they do it. If it's the, I know when new players come by that they're very open to them and they tell them that this is to fill in and this is their role and they believe in them, the young guys as well. But it really is interesting to see every year how, it's just guys that you don't talk about in the preview. It renders, Joe, our preview shows obsolete. You know, it's right. Like we didn't talk about Grant Green. We didn't talk about Ramiro Pena. We didn't talk about Albert Suarez. But here they are playing key roles midway through the year.
It's amazing. What did you think about the performances of Mack Williamson and Jarrett Parker? Because it was kind of an audition for them. You know, with Hunter Pence coming back, then there's not going to be as much of a chance. So, I mean, both guys seem to have shown fairly well for being, you know, young guys that haven't had a lot of playing time. But what do you expect from them going forward?
I think they both definitely could make it as regulars in the majors. But I think they got to be a little disappointed that one of the guys didn't just kind of grab it and take off with it. That's what they're really hoping for, because I think long term you're looking, okay, we're going to lose Angel Pagan. I know they would have loved to have said, all right, we'll slot in Jarrett Parker, or we'll slot in Mack Williamson there. And you just haven't quite seen it yet, you know, consistently. I mean, the good thing about Mack is lately he's shown that defensively he's pretty good. He's a fast guy out there. For being a bigger guy with some pop, he's got some speed. And so defensively you've been seeing making some bad plays as well, but some awe-inspiring plays and covering a lot of ground. But I don't, you know, I think they probably wish they'd seen a little bit more from both of those guys. Given the opportunity for consistent multiple at-bats at the big league level, but they're both young, and they both have a lot of talent, a lot of power, which this team could definitely use. So certainly the final chapter's not written on either of those guys.
By the way, speaking of the outfield, Gregor Blanco had that fly ball that he kind of lost it in the sun and dropped it. And for a while, that was the only blemish on the Bumgarner game. I mean, he looked like he could go for a perfect game there. And then he gave up the hit to Jake Lamb in the eighth inning. But it was funny, and they didn't mention this on ESPN, but I was thinking that Blanco was the guy who saved the perfect game in 2012 for Matt Cain. He could have blown the perfect game for Bumgarner, even though the sun was shining in his eyes there. But there was irony there that I think that wasn't really brought out on the broadcast.
I know. It was the anti perfect game performance there for Gregor Blanco. I thought the same thing. I thought exactly the same thing. I was like, huh. That's strange. I was like, Bumgarner did not get the Matt Cain, Gregor Blanco effort there. But man, that sun and that wind, and I feel like the sun's been, even Angel Pagan said that sun's been harder to deal with lately. I don't know what's going on. If climate change is a real thing, it's affecting AT&T Park's sun right now. But yeah, he felt bad. But it was interesting seeing ESPN show Gregor go in the dugout to Madison Bumgarner and basically be, sorry, man. And then Mad Bum just, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, he's so laid. Bumgarner's so laid back. He's like, oh, whatever.
Yeah,
whatever.
I got this.
That's fine. You're cool. Yeah, you're cool.
More with Ahmed Farid from Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area right after this.
Hey, how'd you get those cool new shirts for the trade show so fast?
Access!
Who makes all that great clothing for high schools and colleges?
Access!
How do I get my company logo embroidered on some nice polo shirts?
Access Uniforms is your go-to resource for customized clothing. Just call us to find the right product, email your artwork, and your order will be on its way directly from our factory right here in Burlingame. Call Access Uniforms at 877-755-LOGO. That's 877-755-L-O-G-O.
The trade deadline's 3 weeks away, Ahmed. And for the Giants, I mean, you mentioned it earlier, the bullpen a little leaky. You wonder if they try to add somebody there. There are some pitchers out there. I mean, I think like a Houston Street would be a great addition. I don't know that the Padres are going to say, I don't know the Angels are going to say, oh, yeah, well, we want to get rid of him at this point. But the former Padre, former Angel, former A, he seems like he'd be a good addition to the Giants. Do you think the Giants are going to make it a priority to make a move?
They'll do something. I mean, I think when you're in the position the Giants are, you have an obligation to do something and to beef up your team. I mean, because why not? You know, even if it's a smaller move, there are guys you can give up that aren't going to cripple you in the future that maybe weren't even a part of your plans that you can make a small upgrade with. And so I think they'll definitely do something, and it does seem like they'll try to do something in the bullpen. Now, if they want to make a significant upgrade in the bullpen, then you got to start thinking about the Phil Bickfords and the Tyler Beatties and stuff like that. And so we'll see kind of the stomach that they have to make a big move in the bullpen. But I do think it is vital because I saw a stat the other day, Joe, where the Giants, and they do this a lot anyway with Bochy, but they lead the league by far in one batter relief appearances. And Bochy's very good at that, but I think they could use a guy who they can just throw in an inning. Here's our seventh inning guy, here's our eighth inning guy, and then get to Santiago in the ninth inning. So I think they're playing matchups a lot because I don't think that they want to expose some of the guys, and some of them have struggled, so they're trying to play matchups so much. But in come postseason time, it's nice to be able to have the guys where, okay, this is your inning, we know that you can get us through this inning and get us back to the dugout. So they're going to look for that, but I think the question will be how much do they want to pay and how much of an upgrade do they think they need. And so those are the things we'll be talking about coming up towards the trade deadline.
Yeah, I really hope they don't give up Christian Arroyo. I would think he's pretty untouchable because he showed at San Jose and he's shown at Double A that he's going to be a really good hitter. You just don't want to lose a guy like that.
Well, they love him for sure. And why wouldn't you, right? And he hit in spring training too when given that opportunity. And maybe he's an outfield left field. We talk about Parker and Williamson. You know, maybe Arroyo's the guy who's the left fielder of the future for the Giants. I do think they'd definitely be reluctant. We've seen it before. They really have been, for the most part, reluctant to give up the top of the top, the Zach Wheeler being the exception, maybe. And I don't think that they really want to give up Bickford and Beatty and some of their upper arms there, too, because it's so expensive to get starting pitching. I mean, we saw what the Giants just had to do this offseason. It's worked out so far with some margin Cueto, but that's a ton of money. That's over $250 million. So I think the Giants would love to develop some of those arms that they haven't done in real recent history, you know, since the Lindsay come in Bumgarner's. So yeah, I think they'd like to keep all those guys. I think they probably will, but we'll see how dire the need is at a position the next month or so.
As we finish up here, you know, I did see a little blurb about how the Dodgers were open to trading Yasiel Puig, which is not surprising, I mean, given all the stuff that's happened there. But, you know, I wonder about the Dodgers and how desperate they might be. They've actually played pretty good baseball. I mean, I think once the Giants got to around the six-game lead, it's kind of stayed there. The Giants have played really well. The Dodgers have played really well. I mean, I think they can be a factor in the postseason, and who knows, they might make a really good run at this division title if Clayton Kershaw comes back healthy. What do you think about the Dodgers and what maybe they need to do?
I think they need to get healthy. I mean, we've seen their starting rotation. They got Brandon McCarthy back now, but Kenjin Ryu has been out for a big part of it. Now Clayton Kershaw is out. So I think if they do get their starters back, that's a deep pitching staff for them. Adrian Gonzalez really hasn't heated up. You know, maybe the last week or so he is a little bit, so they could get a little bit more out of him. Puig was hurt for a bit. I like their young guys and Seager and Peterson, even though I still think they have a little ways to go. But yeah, I mean, they're a talented team. They're good. There's a reason why they've been there the last, you know, 3 years atop the division. I don't think talent wise though, they stack up with this Giants squad. And I think this is the year where it's starting to, there's a little separation, there. So, you know, I don't know. You don't want to count any team out because you never know when the next Grant Green's going to step up and all of a sudden carry a team for a month. But it does seem like that lead for the Giants right now, as safe as you can feel at the midway point, Joe, it feels like it's just there's a different talent level, especially at the top of the rotation for the Giants going three deep. It just seems like they're the better team right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. Well, Ahmed, thanks so much. And by the way, I mean, you really did time this right coming here to the Bay Area, because I think ever since you've been here, it's just been this great run of not only the Giants, but, you know, now the Warriors have been to back-to-back and NBA Finals, and you've got the Sharks going to the Stanley Cup for the first time.
Yep.
I mean, you guys are having a lot of fun over there, I guess.
49ers went to the Super Bowl. yeah, there are a lot of Stanford athletes in the Olympics. I'm taking credit for that as well, and Cal athletes as well. So it's been a lot. Trust me, I'm bringing that up. I'm bringing that up to my bosses all the time, that, you know, if they want to keep this winning going, you know, just keep me around. Keep me around for a little while longer.
Well, thanks a lot for the time. Really appreciate it, and look forward to chatting with you again down the road this summer.
Hey, Joe, like the podcast anytime you need me.
That's Ahmed Farid from Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area. Join us again on Wednesday as John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle will join us from San Diego to talk about the All-Star Game. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.